You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
And another great honor tonight is to bring our friend to this pulpit to preach. Pastor John Reading is, of course, one of our favorite guest ministers to come and preach to us. I love him. He is indeed my brother in the Lord, but he's like a brother to me. And I love him so very much, and I know this church has a great deal of love and respect for him. His family, they mean so much to us. They are like family to us. They're home at CLC. He has liberty in this pulpit. Come, open your heart and preach to us. We love you.
Oh, let's give that to the Lord right now. Come on, the healer's in the house. My God in heaven, miracles are in this place. If you knew the power that God wants to unleash in this house, Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. He wants to set somebody free. He wants to heal someone miraculously. He wants to fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants to have someone be reborn in the precious name of Jesus. Their sins plunged beneath that crimson flow. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing tonight. That's what this is all about. Didn't come to see you. You didn't come to see me, but we've come to lift him up. And where he is in our midst, liberty is happening in this house. Be free from your sickness. Be free from your disease. Be free from poverty. Be free from your heartache and headache. Be free from the things that hold you down, hold you back, keep you captive in the name of Jesus. Whatever you have need of, it's in the house. Oh, glory. It's in the house. Kind of reminds me of when the Lord comes by the pool and there was one who had an excuse but not much desire. How many years have you sat by the miracle? Oh, but I don't and I can't and I won't. And the Lord stops and says, do you even want to be whole? And tonight, your miracle is within reach. And the Lord is saying, hang on. Do you even want to be right? Do you even want to be healed? Do you even want to be whole? Because when you walk past your miracle, you got to walk out of your excuses and out of your reasons, and you got to leave it behind, and you got to go beyond. Somebody tonight, God is trying to move you past where you've always been into a place. It may be scary. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have this to lean on. It's just been there for so long. But why don't you launch into the realm of the impossible, into the realm of the miraculous, and you'll see that God is in your future just as much as he's ever been in your past. He's waiting on you to take the step of faith tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. Psalms chapter 116. Privilege to be here. Lord, have mercy. Haven't we had a time?
Haven't we had a time? Haven't we had a time? Isn't Jesus in the house? Healing is in the house. Your miracle's in the house. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory. All right. Told Brother Jordan, just let it go. Jesus. We'll get in trouble. Yeah. We're just going to go to the Word. 116, verse 1. I love the Lord. Can we all agree on that? Does everybody here love the Lord? Conservative, liberal, young, old, rich, poor, someone that's been around forever, somebody, this is your first time, but can we all agree, I love the Lord? Then just say it together with me. I love the Lord. Didn't that feel good? Do it again. Come on, one more time with everything you got. David says, because we're not supposed to have any caveats here. David says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He goes on to give us some conditions. He says, the sorrows of death have compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold of me. I found trouble, I found sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. I beseech you, O Lord, deliver my soul. Glory, you may be seated. How many of you know you're in a praying church? Hallelujah. You can feel the effect of prayer in a service like this. Services like this don't happen in choir practice. Thank God for the perfecting of the arts, skills, and abilities. But what we have felt tonight is not a performance, but it's the effect of prayer. Thank God for a praying pastor. Thank God for praying leadership team. Thank God for praying Sunday school teachers. Thank you, Jesus, for a praying church. We believe in prayer because we understand there's power in prayer. Great things happen when we begin to pray. Bible says it is the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that avails much. There's something about prayer, amen, it simply works. Amen, amen, amen. I believe honestly tonight if we were to take a poll, this wonderful congregation, we would have absolutely 100% compliance to the idea that prayer works, that prayer is something that we should do, that prayer is essential to an apostolic church in this day and age. Amen? Yet we recently left a convocation where the speaker Friday morning let us know that through his polling, over 36 people admit to not praying on a daily basis. Now, some speculate that number may be even worse than that. That may be an optimistic number. The reality is that at least almost 40% of people were honest enough to say, you know what, I do not pray daily. Now, if you expect me to take that statistic, browbeat us, make us feel guilty or ashamed or hold it over your head, you're mistaken. Because tonight I believe I am in a praying church. Amen. That statistic, I don't believe, represents a generational issue. I don't believe that. I believe that we have in this generation in which we live people that absolutely believe in the power of prayer and are fully desirous of having a prayer life. I'm also going to say that I don't believe that it is a lack of spiritual discipline, that we live a life so loosely organized that we just simply don't willfully find time to pray. I don't believe that. I don't believe that in the chaotic culture in which we live, that we can blame this statistic on our busyness or on our distraction. I don't feel that is an accurate assessment of that statistic. However, tonight I do believe that it is a faith problem. Amen. When we hear the word faith, we think of what I will call belief. And yet our problem tonight is not belief. We know that God opens blinded eyes. We believe that God can cause tumors to fall off. We believe the lame can walk and even the dead can come back to life. We believe that sins are forgiven in a prayer of repentance. Our situation is not an element of belief. It is not whether or not we believe that God can do or will do. Amen. Because I know that we do pray. What I want to address tonight is the gap of when we do not pray. Because the Bible doesn't tell us to pray sometimes, but it tells us to pray always. So we're getting it partially right, but not altogether right. And I'm not here to address anything but that gap of why we are not praying all the time. Is that all right? Our faith problem is not whether or not God can or cannot do it. We struggle with that at times. I do believe we're human. But yet the Bible tells us if we just have the faith of a mustard seed, that God can work with such minute faith that he is not dependent upon our belief system whether or not he works. Do you hear me today? And so for the person that is waiting for some super-sized element of faith that you just become so determined that God can and will do anything, and when you come to that conclusion that suddenly your prayers will be answered, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the greater question of whether or not he will do it. Because we live in this fog of mystery about the will of God. What is it? What is acceptable? What is perfect and what is good? And so we feel like if we could come across the just perfect conclusion of what God wants, we could pray it and it would happen. But I'm not debating with you tonight or even questioning whether or not you believe he will. But rather, I believe the crux of the matter is that we wonder if I even matter enough for God to hear my cry. Hallelujah. The problem is not whether we serve a big God that's big enough to heal, a God that's big enough to do what we need. We know he is and we know he does. But my problem and your problem could be that we're not sure if we're the next one in line for the miracle. And I've come to blow that thing apart tonight if somebody will hear this preacher just for a few more minutes. See, many of us say, oh, I know God hears my prayer. But our prayer lives say something different. If we really knew that as soon as we open our mouth, that we have his full attention, if there was no doubt in our minds that as our mouth opens, The air begins to push up past our vocal cords and formulate into words that the heaven of heavens was attentive, waiting upon every word to tumble from our mouth. We would pray constantly and consistently about everything. We would pray without ceasing. We would pray without ceasing. We would never stop praying. We would pray in the morning. We would pray in the evening. We would pray all day long. We'd go to bed praying. We'd wake up praying if we knew that we had the ear of God. Ah, Jesus. Hallelujah. My friend, Reverend Philip Jordan here. If he were president, I wish you were president. But if I knew my friend was the president, see, I got a problem. My town, in its thinking, thought it was a great idea to go and completely mess up the traffic pattern out in front of our church. Who is the person that thought that was a good idea? And if my friend, the Reverend Philip Jordan, if he was the president, he's not the president. He's better looking than the president. He's smarter than the president. He's richer. No, he's not richer than the president. But if he were the president, I would call him, and he would take my call because he's my friend. And City Hall would get a phone call from my friend, the president. This is my friend would like those stripes painted back the way they were. And someone would say, somebody knows someone in a really high position. But if I called my friend and the switchboard operator said, John, who? We don't know that there be a John reading. If I called and the line was busy, if I called the next day and they said, you know, he'll get back with you, he's got the power, he's got the ability, he's got the position, but he doesn't have the opportunity to help you. I got news for you. That may be possible with a human friend. But my God is bigger than the president, more capable than the president, and he's richer than the president, and his line is never busy. You can call him anytime. You don't get a secretary. You don't get a front office. What I'm trying to tell somebody, when you call on Jesus, when you call on him, angels peel back. Heaven stands at attention. Tonight, the only thing between your miracle and you is not whether God can or whether he will, but it's whether you believe that he'll take your call or not. We would pray without ceasing. Please be seated. David, the author of this text, Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Bible tells us that God chose him. Said, I got somebody that's been on my mind. David and God had a relationship. Their heart beat as one. Do you know that when you're in a relationship as you should be, husband and wife, and you draw closer together, and that there is a synchronizing of the heartbeat of the two, and that the wife's heartbeat will begin to match that of her husband.
when the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, they were in synchronization. David had gotten close enough to God that his heart was beating in sync with that of God. How do you get to such a place? David said, let me tell you where this love affair began with me. I love the Lord because, oh no, Brother Reading, we're just supposed to love God because of who He is. That's good. That's right. Maybe you're a better person than me. But David himself said, I'll tell you why I love the Lord. When I call on Him, He hears my cry. Every time, every day, every hour, there's not been a moment, whether it was the backside of the wilderness, when it was just me and the sheep, I called on the Lord, He heard my cry. I walked into the valley of Elah, and I picked up some stones, and I called on the name of the Lord, and He heard my cry. David said, let me tell you why my heart beats after His. He hears me when I call. Because He's heard my voice. Definition of heard. This passage means to intelligently hear or listen with intentionality. We just call it like this. He's paying attention to me. David had a relationship like none of his peers, because everywhere he went, no matter where he was, he pays attention to me. David took incredible leaps of faith because he pays attention to me. The problem with this message is that it is exactly so simple. Some of us say, okay, I get that. But we don't, because if we did, we would pray like we've never prayed before. Somebody's going to get a revelation of how God is listening to you. You're not going to even wait till this preacher's done. You're going to realize the thing you've been waiting on for days, weeks, months, years, and decades is at the moment you understand He is paying attention to you. When you get it, nothing's going to hold you back. Nothing's going to keep you down. But you're going to step into the realm of the miraculous like never before. David doesn't stop there. Can I tell you, David didn't live a charmed life. His own son led an insurrection against him. His wife abandoned him because of the demonstrative nature of his worship. He was dethroned. He had enemies turned upon him. His children messed up in a way that's indescribable. And yet David continued this relationship with God consistently, through his ups and his downs, because there was something about it. He knew he had the ear of God. Your success will not be whether or not you have ever failed or not. Some of you are living in spiritual poverty because you failed at some time. Get over it and get up, because that does not determine your spiritual success. What does is whether you have a God that's big enough for Him to get over your problems and still want to hear your call. Yeah, I failed you. Yeah, I messed up. But for some strange reason, He still loves me enough to hear me when I call. Come Come on. God didn't cut you off. God didn't shut you out. God didn't seal the heavens. God is waiting for your call tonight.
Lord, have mercy. Jesus, help us. This is so simple, but yet someone's having a hard time believing it. All right, let me describe this a little further. In the text that I read to you, David said, "Oh, I love the Lord." Anybody of you guys have any of those friends that you call them and they don't pick up? They leave a voice message and they don't call back. You text them 6 months later, they act like, "Hey, how you doing?" That ain't God. David said he hears me when I call. But he didn't stop there. He said, "I will call upon him as long as I live." You know what David is saying? You ever have that friend that you can't shake them for nothing? They don't take a hint that you'd rather be alone or by yourself, but that you're busy or you're in another conversation. You can be talking, it could be life and death, and they just walk up and blah, 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 blah. And you wonder, dear God, can't you ever take a clue? David said, "I'm promising you, that's who I'm going to be to him as long as I live. It don't matter what he's doing. It don't matter how busy he is. Hey, God, guess what? It's me again. I'm back." He says, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me." If it's not enough that he said he hears me every time when I call, then let me explain to you, because David didn't leave it there. See, he says, "You're not getting it. He inclines his ear unto me every time I call." The word "inclined" simply means stretched toward, turn toward, or leans unto. You ever talk to someone, they're slouched back in their chair and they're doing this? And they're going, "Mm-hmm." David's saying, every time I call on him, whatever he's doing, whatever's happening, he leans toward me. You know what a leaning toward means? It's anticipation and expectation, and it's a visible signal. I want to hear everything you've got to say. I'm going to turn down the radio. I'm going to roll up the windows because I'm listening to catch. I don't want to miss a thing. David said, "Yeah, he hears me. But I also know when I call him, oh, he's sitting upon his throne. But suddenly he moves out to the edge of his throne and he begins to listen and he begins to lean and he's stretching toward me. And I'm down here saying, 'God, I need you. I need you.'" And the God of heaven that spoke and created the heavens and the earth and all that is, he begins to lean toward me. And the devil wants you to think that you're somewhere holding a ticket trying to figure out how many more people are ahead of you in line. Did you ever go to the BMV? Sit down. Did you ever go to the BMV? Punch a number. Now they got, instead of those little tickets you take, they got a thing you punch. Went to the BMV the other day. Punched it, spit out a ticket. The lady in front of me had a connection or something. She went straight up to the desk, and they took care of her. So I'll come around to my number. Well, it didn't come to mine, it came to hers. Because she walked in directly, got taken care of, and left. They kept calling, 36! I got 37, and I know where she's at. She's already out in her car. 36. I got 37. Finally, I said, you know what? I walked up there, and she said, this ain't 36. I know. I said, I know. 36 already been taken care of. It's my turn now. But I have sat there for hours waiting for 37 to come along. Some of you have sat here for decades. It's not my night yet. It's not my year yet. It's not our decade, family. See, our problem, where our doubt comes from, is we ascribe human traits. Okay. Our son recently graduated from language school. Without too much detail, one of his tests to pass was he had to listen. He had to hear 5 conversations in this new foreign language that he had been studying for about 10 months. And he had to listen to 5 conversations simultaneously and comprehend and understand what they're saying. Through a process of scanning, listening for key words, listening for things that he can discern and be able to say back, okay, here's what I caught. The problem is we see God sitting at some heavenly switchboard. Okay, let me preach to myself because I don't want to ascribe any of this to y'all, but I see him. As there's millions of petitions that are coming forth, as people are praying from all around the world, and God's scanning the conversations for something he can help with. My problem with that is that God is not limited in his finite ability as yours and mine. He is not held to the same standard of which you and I are. He's not trying to catch a glimpse of your prayer while listening to a little bit of my prayer, but God is capable of listening 100% entirely to my needs at the same time as he's listening to your needs. Let me tell you why this is a faith problem. Faith is not whether or not he can do it, but when the guy ahead of me has terminal cancer, my problem doesn't seem big enough to bother him with. But the thing is, he can take care of my situation and that life-threatening situation simultaneously and never take away from the other. So it's time for some of us to stop being so spiritually polite. Push your way to the head of the line. You may have a situation that you got to have an answer for today, but so do I, and I'm not moving for anybody. He can heal you and heal me and heal them at the very same time. Do I really expect God to stop what he's doing and tend to my needs? He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. How do I know this is a problem? Because if it wasn't, I'm just preaching to myself, I'd call him all the time. I'd pester the snot out of him. I'd go, dear Lord, you don't have anything like this. I had a dear precious saint in my church that didn't think I had enough to do because all we do is eat greasy fried chicken and preach once time a week and we make a lot of money for doing it. Isn't that what everybody thinks? And so this dear sweet family went to the hospital and made their rounds up and down the halls. And came to me the next service with a list of people that they told their pastor would come and pray for them. I handed the list back and said, I authorize you in the name of the Lord to go back and pray for them yourself. And the problem is, if we truly comprehended that he is listening to everything we bring to him, that he is leaning to hear everything we say, I'd be like that pestering saint, and I'd be, oh, you've got a headache today? Let's pray about it. My God will listen. Oh, you got a problem? Then let's pray about it. I would go to and fro looking for people to pray for. That's what the early church did, such as we have. Give I thee. It's not in the silver or the gold that we have, but it's in the God that hears every prayer that we pray. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. The apostolic church is coming alive when we understand the connection with heaven that we have. Come on, music. The next dimension of faith for the apostolic church is not whether or not God can do it, whether or not he will do it, but it's knowing absolutely that he hears. The psalmist in chapter 40, verse 1, as you stand all over this house, there's a popular song that's being sung that resonates so much with my heart. Wait upon the Lord. Can I continue? Let me just be pastoral for another minute. Waiting or our ability to do so is relational to our situation. If I were to ask one of these young men to hold this bottle of water, he could do it. If I'd ask him in the beginning of this message to hold it, I don't care how many times you go to the gym, you know what you'd be doing right now? But if I told you, hold it 10 minutes. As long as we know there's an end in sight, it's amazing what we can do in a short burst of effort. Grandma can lift the car off of a grandchild in a burst of strength. She can't do that every day, all day. Waiting on the Lord or the ability to do so is entirely dependent on our confidence that he heard us. Put me on hold, AT&T. I'm sorry if you work for them. As long as I know, every couple minutes, sir, we're working on that. We really are. Give us a few minutes. Go ahead. I got all day. But the moment I think you forgot me and that I may just be on a dead-end call, I give up. But I can wait as long as I know somebody's working on the other side of the line. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Somebody here is waiting on the Lord, but you're about to give up. Not because you don't think he can, and not even though you don't think he will. You're not sure he even cares anymore. Hello? Are you still there? David said, I waited on the Lord. Because he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, and praise unto our God. And many shall see it and trust in the Lord. Let me tell you how the end time revival is going to happen. When people see you wait upon him. I've called him. It's coming. Maybe not in this moment,
but he's still on the line. He's heard my cry. He's inclined toward me. And I'm going to sing until it's happening. And then it happens. And people say, I watch them patiently wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on him too. And your miracle becomes their miracle. And their miracle becomes their miracle. And it's contagiously spread through our community. Hang on. Hold on, somebody. Call on him one more time. Hezekiah laid the letters from Sennacherib on the altars of the Lord. The Lord came back through the prophet Isaiah. Oh, I heard you. How long did it take for a servant to get from Isaiah's house, rather, to Hezekiah's? I don't know. There was a king laying on the altar saying, God, I've got your mail. Somewhere in a village, there's a servant running. Hold on, king. God heard you the moment you laid it out before him. Daniel is told 21 days later, God heard you. Took a few weeks. 21 days later, the prince of Persia hindered me. But God heard you the first time you called. The other prophet sat upon the top of Mount Carmel, his head bowed between his knees. Go back, look again. God heard you the first time, but it took seven glances to get the answer. Do you believe that if you've prayed for something, that the answer is on the way, even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't understand it, even if you don't sense it? God has heard my cry. Be easy to give a mass altar call right now. There's such a surge of faith in this house. Let me speak one more moment to somebody. You know God can. You know he could. You believe his word says he will. But tonight, I wonder if you believe that he has heard your call, that there's no other callers ahead of you. You're not number third, number three. Hang on. You got a couple more. You'll be next. If you believe that your number has come up before God, the Lord has said, okay, what can we do for you? I want you to step out of this aisle. I want you to make the way to the front of this house. I want you to lift your hands toward heaven. You don't have to keep asking for the same thing. I want you to begin to thank him for hearing you. Lord, I love you because you heard my cry. I love you because you heard me. I'm going to keep on calling. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep on crying because I know you hear me every time I call. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to call on you the next day because you hear me when I call. I'm not turning.